Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, this summer edition 2021. If you'd like this sent to your door every 3 months, just contact chapel at mountzion.org, and they'll send it to you. And it'll be a different topic every three quarters. The topic this time around is Providence, and we're listening again to Arthur Pink. In an article entitled God Rules Everything, Arthur Pink lived from 1886 to 1952, born in England and did his ministry here in America. God governs inanimate matter. That inanimate matter performs his bidding and fulfills his decrees. That is true is clearly shown on the very frontispiece of divine revelation. God said, "Let there be light." And we read, "There was light." God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And again, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the psalmist declares, "He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." What is stated in Genesis 1 is afterwards illustrated all through the Bible. After the creation of Adam, 16 centuries went by before ever a shower of rain fell upon the earth. For before Noah, there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. But when the iniquities of the antediluvians had come to the full, then God said, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." In fulfillment of this, we read, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Witness God's absolute and sovereign control of inanimate matter in connection with the plagues of Egypt. At his bidding, the light was turned into darkness, rivers into blood. Hail fell, and death came down upon the godless land of the Nile, until even in its haughty monarch it was compelled to cry out for deliverance. Note particularly how the inspired record here emphasizes God's absolute control over the elements. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. The same distinction was observed in connection with the ninth plague, and the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now the above examples are by no means isolated cases. At God's decree, fire and brimstone descended from heaven. The cities of the plain were destroyed. A fertile valley was converted into a loathsome sea of death. At his bidding, the waters of the Red Sea parted asunder so that the Israelites passed over dry shod. And at his word, they rolled back again and destroyed the Egyptians who were pursuing them. A word from him, and the earth opened her mouth, and Korah and his rebellious company were swallowed up. The furnace of Nebuchadnezzar was heated 7 times beyond its normal temperature, and into it 3 of God's children were cast. But the fire did not so much as scorch their clothes, though it slew the men who cast them into it. What a demonstration of the Creator's governmental control over the elements was furnished when he became flesh and tabernacled among men. Behold him asleep in the boat, a storm arises. The winds roar and the waves are lashed into fury. The disciples who are with him, fearful lest their little craft should founder, awaken their master, saying, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And then we read, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Mark again, the sea, at the will of its creator, bore him up upon its waves. At a word from him, the fig tree withered. At his touch, disease fled instantly. What a declaration this is! He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. That's in Psalm 147. The mutations of the elements are beneath God's sovereign control. It is God who withholds the rain. It is God who gives the rain when he wills, where he wills, as he wills, and on whom he wills. Weather bureaus may attempt to give forecasts of the weather, but how frequently God mocks their calculations. Sunspots, the varying activities of the planets, the appearing and disappearing of comets, to which abnormal weather is sometimes attributed, atmospheric disturbances are merely secondary causes, for behold, behind them all is God himself. And truly then, God governs inanimate matter. Earth and air, fire and water, hail and snow, stormy winds and angry seas, all perform the word of his power and fulfill his sovereign pleasure. Therefore, when we complain about the weather, we're murmuring against God. God governs irrational creatures. What a striking illustration of God's government over the animal kingdom. That's found in Genesis 2:19. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Should it be said that this occurred in Eden and took place before the fall of Adam and the consequent curse that was inflicted on every creature, then our next reference fully meets the objection. God's control of the beasts was again openly displayed at the flood. Mark how God caused to come unto Noah every species of living creature. "Of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee." All were beneath God's sovereign control. The lion of the jungle, the elephant of the forest, the bear of the polar regions, the ferocious panther, the untamable wolf, the fierce tiger, the high-soaring eagle, the creeping crocodile. See them all in their native fierceness, and yet quietly submitting to the will of their Creator, coming 2 by 2 into the ark. We refer to the plagues sent upon Egypt as illustrating God's control of inanimate matter. Well, let's now turn to them again to see how they demonstrate his perfect rulership over irrational creatures. "At his word, the river brought forth frogs abundantly. And these frogs entered the palace of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants. Contrary to their natural instincts, they entered the beds, the ovens, the kneading troughs. Swarms of flies invaded the land of Egypt, but there were no flies in the land of Goshen. Next, the cattle were stricken, and we read, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. The Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one." Is further proof required? Well, it's ready at hand then. God makes a dumb ass to rebuke a prophet's madness. He sends forth two she-bears from the woods to devour 42 of Elijah's tormentors. In fulfillment of his word, he causes the dogs to lick up the blood of the wicked Jezebel. He seals the mouths of Babylon's lions when Daniel is cast into the den, though later he causes them to devour the prophet's accusers. He prepares a great fish to swallow the disobedient Jonah, and then, when his ordained hour struck, compelled it to vomit him forth on dry land. At his bidding, a fish carries a coin to Peter for tribute money, and to fulfill his word, he makes the cock crow twice after Peter's denial. Thus we see that God reigns over irrational creatures, beasts of the field, birds of the air, fishes of the sea. All perform his sovereign bidding. And that's about half of this message. Decided to cut this one in two. Next time we do the Free Grace Broadcaster, we'll finish that. That'll be two sessions from now. In our next session, we'll get back to Ezekiel. We have the works of great men of God beyond the one I just read from, Arthur Pink, on this site. You need to go and check out the different series on this website. We've got Spurgeon. We've got all the rest, a lot of good men of God. We've got North Korea audios, North Korea photo updates, a study of the Quran, a study of Muhammad, a study of end-time Bible prophecy. We go through the whole Bible. We've got commentaries. We've got 61 books you can purchase. You can go to Kindle and get them all for a dollar. They're all available through my website, and that website will direct you to Amazon. Now, let me show you a book. I wish I could show you. I'm just going to tell you about it. I've been sharing it with you a book every day to let you know kind of the different kinds of things I've put together. We're still in Bible studies, and this Bible study is still being put out. It's called A Study of the Book of Ezekiel. Not just part 5, but parts 1 through 5. I put it all in one book now, A Study of the Book of Ezekiel. It was formerly published in 5 separate parts. This is the entire book with commentary in one volume. The whole book of Ezekiel's in there too. You'll meet the exiled prophet Ezekiel. You'll see his miraculous call. You'll follow him on his unusual assignments. Hear his judgments on Judah and the surrounding nations. Above all, then, you will rejoice in the great forgiveness and mercy of God as Israel is restored and becomes the centerpiece of a brand new world. Ezekiel sees the millennial kingdom, a new temple, and much more. An unexpected ending to a book that's seriously condemnatory at times. Read carefully through this book and experience anew the great love of our God for his people. I hope that you'll click on store there and check this book out at Amazon.com. We have a blog that I put on every day. It's usually just one of the little sections of my books, and you can just read the books that way, the slow way, but it'll get you through the books. And then Zoom is every Saturday night, 7 o'clock, 7 Central Time. And if you will send me an email, men, I will send you a link to the Zoom meeting, and you can join us. The email is bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Then there are the Facebook friends. Look me up, Bob Faulkner in Niles, Illinois. You'll have to put that Niles there because there's more than one Bob Faulkner. Send me a friend request, as several of you have done, and I do appreciate it. And the more the better. Be sure that you're the kind of person that isn't talking politics all the time, though. I love you, but I know you mean well, but I think we need to talk about the Lord a little more, don't you? All right. And then YouTube, that's coming. Well, it's kind of come. I've got 3 videos out there as I speak right now. Going through the history of my life, and as I come to a particular book I've written, I'm going off on that book. We're starting with Scarlet Threads, which is not on sermon audio. Anyway, go over to YouTube. Just go to OL apostrophe. That's O, and then Brother Bob. 3 separate words. Old Brother Bob. And I think you'll, I don't want to say enjoy, but I think you'll appreciate what's going on over there. Anyway, that's all for this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.